All right, I'm going to show you a picture, and it's identify the person. We're real high tech tonight in showing you pictures here. Okay. Without saying name, anyone think you got it? Is everybody like really confused? I'll give you a hint. I'm a nice guy. This will give you a hint. That helps somebody. Shh, don't say it. All right. That's all the hints you get. Who do you think it is?
Harry Houdini.
Oh, very good. Now, Harry Houdini died in 1926, which was a long time ago. Why is he still known today that you could pick him out with one hint and one picture? What was his area of expertise? It actually says on that little marquee, if you look real well. He was an escape artist. Exactly right. I love this poster. Europe's eclipsing sensation, Houdini. The world's handcuffed king and prison breaker. Nothing on earth can hold Houdini a prisoner. Aren't you ready just to turn loose of your hard-earned money and go to the Vaudeville Theater and watch him, you know, get out of a sealed milk can or out of his various things? He actually, of course, it's hard for us to calibrate this. This was before TV. This is before there was really hardly any motion picture, certainly none with sound back in his early days. If you wanted to see entertainment, you had to go see live entertainment. And that was the only way you could do it. And he, at one point, was the highest paid entertainer in the entire world. He had that kind of renown. One of his tricks was to PR when he was going to a new city, because most newspapers was the way to get the word out about what was going on and to sell tickets. So he would challenge the local police chief, lock him, put him whatever handcuffs he had, whatever, and lock him in the jail cell, and he would see if he could get out. And he always would get out, and then that would, you know, it was a big fun thing, and that would just build the crowds to come, turn loose of their hard-earned money to watch him do his show. He had all kinds of things. You can read about him. It's not hard to find. He died at age 52, and really, there's some conjecture about what his cause of death was, and there's maybe some fanciful stories. But one of the real reasons was he wouldn't seek medical attention. He had appendicitis acutely, and that's really what led to his death. But he wouldn't seek medical attention because he wanted to do his next show. He was booked at the theater, and the crowds were coming, and he refused to, in fact, his last show, they took him right from there to the hospital, and then he never got out. So he was, I'm not sure that's a wise way to be living, but that's the kind of showman he was. But he escaped. I want to talk to you tonight about getting out of a trap. I'm going to make you all, no, I'm not going to make you, the Lord's going to make you all escape artists tonight. That's what I want to talk about. I thought as we end, this will be our last series on the snares of the Bible and the traps. And there's actually two or three more that we could have dug out, but I'm going to just kind of bring it to a close tonight. And I was going to do one of those, but I thought I'd just like to end with one that's a little more positive. Because you got to admit, some of this has been kind of heavy. Don't do this or you get trapped. If you do this, you're going to just, you know, be in trouble with your own hands. Remember we talked about Mordecai and he was hung on his own gallows and these kind of things. So I thought we'd just find a reference to a snare in the Bible that would just be a little more upbeat positive. And you'll find it in Psalm 124. And if you want to open your Bible there, that would be great. Actually, the main verse, I do want to look at the whole psalm briefly tonight, but the main verse is verse 7. That's where we find this reference to the snare. Psalm 124 is a thanksgiving psalm. It comes in a section of psalms that were known as psalms or songs of ascents, to ascend, to go up. They were sung by the worshipers who made their way to Jerusalem for the annual feast. Jerusalem was in the high hill country, so you went up to Jerusalem. So as they went up, as they went ascending, these were the songs these worshipers, these pilgrims would sing. Just like we have songs that we just break out and we sing at Christmas time. Or there were songs that we sang on Resurrection Sunday because it, you know, up from the grave he arose. You know, it just fits the time. They had these songs. So one of these Thanksgiving songs was giving thanks for God's involvement in Israel. And I just want to read verse 7, then we're going to look at the other six verses as well. But it says in verse 7, "Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers." The snare is broken, and we have escaped. With God's help, we can be escape artists. God can get you out of any trap you have ever been in. All of the traps that we've talked about, all the snares we've talked about, and probably, if we were honest, every one of the snares we've talked about, probably just about all of us have been in all of them at one time or another. Our speech, has that ever got us in trouble, snare? That's one we talked about. Here's the ones we've looked at. Greed, angry men, being around angry men will make us angry. Idolatry, fear of men, speech, our own hands, overconfidence and pride at our own victory. We looked at Gideon last week. We've been there. But God, with His help, just as Israel says, we can be set free from that snare. We can be the escape artist. May not get, you know, ticket income from it, but we can be escape artists with the Lord's help. The word fowler appears down in verse 7. That's not a word we use. I mean, there are still fowlers, by the way, but it's not a common word. But how would you? Would that be the same as a turkey hunter? Would that be our modern equivalent? Someone who tries to catch birds and hunts birds, or is involved in that? I think sometimes it's used in our day. People who train birds, like falcons, but they were used in hunting, that kind of thing. But to let us free, just as a bird, that it would be snared by someone hunting it and then escapes. He says, "That's what you've done for us." So I just want to share with you. Then there's two sections to this. The first one is, where would we be without God? That's kind of the theme of these first five verses. Where would we as Israel be if God hadn't been here for us? And it's just, there's just statements here, just basically three basic statements. And I just want to read them. Verse 1, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. That's really what he's saying. Where would we be without the Lord? If it had not been the Lord on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, they would have swallowed us alive. That sounds rather distasteful. We would have been consumed. We would have been gone. We would have been history. We'd have been no more. We as a nation would know, our people would have been wiped off the face of the earth. Now, as I was reading this and studying this, and that's the reason I've got in parenthesis on your sheet and then a question mark. I don't know as I could prove this. Actually, there's multiple stories where Israel could have been very easily, from a human perspective, wiped off the face of the earth. But I just thought of Egypt, their whole Egyptian experience. They were oppressed. They were enslaved. They were, even after they left Egypt, remember, they're between the Red Sea and here's the Egyptian army coming after them. Going to break, take them right back into the snare, right back into the trap, right back into bondage. And they were between, I guess it wouldn't have been a rock and a hard place, would it? A rock and a wet place, maybe? I don't know. But it was. There's no way out until God parted the waters. They were about to be swallowed up by the jaws of someone. I don't know if that's, and maybe the psalm is written so that when these pilgrims would sing, they would think about all the Bible stories. Maybe they would think about, you know, Lot escaping Sodom, or maybe they'd think about Joseph being pulled out of the pit and sold into slavery, and how God elevated him. Maybe they thought about David, and he was the only guy that would go out and battle Goliath. It might have been in a number of stories, but here's what they're saying: God, we know, we confess to you, if you weren't our God, we wouldn't be around. Do you ever think about that in your own life? I've thought about it. It's a scary thought. If I hadn't have come to know Christ when I did, where would I be now? Would I even be alive now? Would I have found some way to destroy myself by now? I mean, God's mercy and God's plan and all that, I mean, you know, but it's kind of sobering to think where you'd be. And then it's also should be a moment of great worship and praise, because we haven't been swallowed up. There is recovery. There is God's ability to pull the jaws of the trap apart and set us free, like a bird escaping from the snare of the fowler. You ever had one of those feeling like you just got out of prison moments? Whew. Thank you, Lord, for your deliverance. Maybe you have some. Let those be markers in your life that you come back and say, Lord, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, I'd have been swallowed up. Verse 4, then the waters would have overwhelmed us. I thought of the next part of the Exodus story, and I've already mentioned it, but I was thinking of the Red Sea. I don't know if that's if there is a connection, but that's what I thought of, and it certainly fits, and maybe there's other stories, but how would you have liked to have been walking? Can you imagine? You're standing there, we're about to die, what are we going to do? Moses raises the rod of God and the waters part. Wall of water over here, wall of water over here, and then Moses says, let's go through there. I don't know about that. Does that look safe to you? Does that make any sense to you? Is there any logic, human wisdom logic, in going down that path? Well, they also didn't have much of a choice. It wasn't like plan B or plan A. It was, this is the plan. But I thought, well, I've just imagined, try to imagine this. You're walking on the, you know, I don't know what the bed of the Red Sea looks like. It was dry land. The Lord had dried it out for them. So they weren't walking through, you know, muck and mud. There they go. And could you see fish swimming over there through the wall? I don't know. I can just hear, I can imagine some dad with a 7-year-old. Look, Dad, look at that. Would you come on? We're getting through here. But I want to see the fish. Get moving. Look straight ahead. Yeah. Some 10-year-old's got to go over. Look what I caught, Dad. I love to imagine, just, you know, sometimes it gets silly, but it makes it a little bit real. But it says the waters would have overwhelmed us. They're below sea level, walking on dry land with the water piled up. But God, that became a marker to them that continued to last again and again. For those of you that have been in our Sunday evening series where we've been talking about the Ark of the Covenant, when the Philistines got the Ark, when it was fell into the Philistine hands, the first time the lost Ark was lost, this is generations later, they look back and remembered, remember what God did to Egypt and to Pharaoh? I mean, these ungodly people knew what God had done. How much more should have Israel have known it? You ever felt overwhelmed? Ever felt like you're going under? Ever feel like you just, you know, I've been down once, I've been down twice, and this is looking like number three, and life's about ready to overwhelm you? God can part waters. He really can. And why? God is with us. So without God, we'd be swallowed up. We'd be overwhelmed with waters. It says the stream would have gone over our soul. Then the swollen waters would have gone over our soul. I got to thinking, I came to the conclusion there's only one place that I know of where it talks about swollen waters. That's flood waters. Remember when they crossed over the Jordan River? This is now 40 years after the Red Sea, a whole other generation. But God didn't part the waters, He stopped the waters. But remember, it says very specifically in Joshua, we studied that when we were talking about the ark, because remember they carried the ark in as soon as the priest's foot went and touched the water stopped, and they stood there with the Ark of the Covenant in the bed of the Jordan until all these people passed by. I wouldn't want to have that duty, because you're going to be standing there with this thing on your shoulder for a long time. Then you're the one saying, would you get those kids moving? Come on, hurry up. We get tired. I'm cramping up here. But floodwaters, God picked the worst time from a human perspective to have them crossing a river. But God picked the worst time from human perspective to show us that God is not concerned about good times and bad times. God is just able.
Amen.
You ever felt like there was a stream about ready to wash your soul away? You ever? I don't know what that may feel like. Maybe it was a loss or a sickness or a confusion or a scary moment, or you're just down in the dumps and depressed and just like, I just feel like I'm just about ready to get washed away. Life's just going to sweep me away. I'm out of control. I have no hope. Well, God took them through. So without God, we would be swallowed alive, overwhelmed, whatever. Now 6, 7, and 8, here's what it looks like with God. You see, you want to know who's the master escape artist? It's not some guy on a vaudeville stage. And by the way, most of his, you can read about this. This is not spoiling the thing, but most of Houdini's illusions were that illusions. There's one instance where he, Scotland Yard in England made these special handcuffs from him, and he was behind the curtain for an hour, and he asked for his wife to come encourage him. She came up and kissed him, and he went behind the stage, and they speculated that she had a key hidden in her mouth, and she slipped it from her mouth into his mouth when she kissed him, and that's how he got out of the handcuffs. So, you know, it was sleight of hand stuff, you know. It wasn't quite as dangerous as the danger of him drowning or whatever. You know, it was an illusion and fun, and he never claimed that it was, you know, he was a showman. But God's the master escape artist. You ever feel trapped, hemmed in, no way out? He is more than able to deliver his own. Let's look at it. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. Now, it was true in their day, it's true to this day, that Israel, mark it on your map, look at it in the geopolitical world, they are surrounded by people that hate them and want to destroy them. And people who aren't afraid to say, we want to destroy you and wipe you off the face of the earth. We hate you. And that is not just argument over land or tradition or religion even. It really, I believe, is born out of a hatred because they are a covenant people of God. And God has an enemy. And God is going to stir up people to join his cause to hate the people of his enemy and so forth. So there's still a prey. But blessed is the Lord who has not given us. He's not given us his prey. Well, you know what? I'm tired of taking care of you. You're on your own. This is just too much effort. I'm going to go take care of someone else now. I've taken care of you for a couple thousand years or 3,000 years. You're on your own now. I'll go take care of someone else now. God never abandons his own. God's never, ever abandoned us for a moment. I know it's kind of trite because we've heard it so much, but you know that Footprints poem? It really does have a good message. You know, I saw the two footprints in the sand as I look back over my life and so forth. And then there's only one set of footprints in those really bad points of my life. Lord, did you abandon me? And then, of course, the message, the moral, whatever you call it. The conclusion of the story is, and the Lord says, that's when I carried you. I didn't go anywhere. I've been there every single step of the way. I think we have some appreciation for that better. I just wonder if in eternity we're going to have a little better perspective on all the things that look back. I'd love to have a conversation with my guardian angel because I don't really know what he's doing. But I'm sure he's probably got some really good stories, you know. You were about to take one breath and I snatched that germ out just before you breathed it in because it would have killed you. You can't prove that isn't true. I don't know. But God, who knows what God has done for us? So he doesn't abandon us. And then the verse we just read, our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we've escaped. Set free. Set free. When we were a young couple and our kids were at home, when our daughter was 3, a cat came to live with us. I'm not sure that was the greatest parental decision we ever made, but a cat came to live with us. This cat was a killer. It was a killer. It would go out and hunt nice little creatures down. And well, we came home from somewhere, and the cat had a chipmunk in its mouth. And the chipmunk was not deceased. And, of course, our daughter, the animal lover, oh, save the chipmunk, whatever. So we pry the chipmunk out of the cat's mouth, and we put it in a box, I think we had an old cage of some kind. And we fed it and let its wounds heal up. And I learned pretty quickly that a chipmunk is probably not going to make a great pet for our family. And then I have to tell how old would she have been, Julie? I don't know, 5 or 6 or 7. We need to set the chipmunk free. It'll be happier out there with all of its chipmunk friends. If you've been a parent, you've had this story. You know, it was not made. God did not make this cute little creature to be kept in a box. And I remember we finally convinced her, so she'd be all right with it. And we let her open the box, and of course the chipmunk went, you know, and I just see chipmunk tail going, you know, getting smaller, heading toward the woods as fast as this thing could go. It was like I have been set free. And I remember our daughter said, "Oh, Dad, it looks so happy going back to the woods to its chipmunk friends." But that's the imagery here. A bird set free. Yippee. I'm glad I'm not in that box anymore. Yeah, they fed me peanuts and corn and stuff, but I really don't like being in this box. I want to get out here. Set free. Set free. We have escaped from the snare. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. That's where our hope comes from. It's from God. You hemmed in, tucked in, tough spot, hurts. He's the solution. Without God, it's bad. With God, it's good. What we need to learn to discipline is this, and I want you to help me here for just another minute or two. How can we invite, I mean, this is not an accurate statement, but I don't know how else to put it in words. How do we invite more of God into our lives? Now, God is there. It's not like he's slacking off, but we need to order our lives so we're aware of him, and he's at work there. I'm wondering what we've all done today. What's something you've done today? Where have you been today? Anyone been anywhere like you're not normally somewhere today? Anyone have somewhere you went to? It's been a boring day for you. Okay. What have you done today? What's one thing you've done today? Who went to the dentist? Okay. How do you invite a little more God into going to the dentist? I don't like going. Do you like going to the dentist? No. I do not like people sticking their hands in my mouth. I really don't. Oh, bless your heart. Did it help your prayer life? Yeah. It would help mine. Yes, it really did. I'm serious. I'm not making a joke. I mean, good. But what a thing. God cares about root canals. You want to say amen? Just invite him in. Talk to him about whatever's going on. What else do you do today?
Went to the nursing home.
Did you go to visit a relative or friend?
Yes.
A relative? You know? You think about going, what a great thing to do. That's what you should do, to be there and share your love and your concern and all that. Sometimes it's not we're inviting God in. Sometimes we're taking God to somebody else in the person of our love and our hands and your concern. God bless you for doing that. What else? What else you do today? There's two things I didn't do today. Anyone else do anything today? Anyone just get up and get dressed and go to work? Okay, all right. Somebody just did that. How do you invite a little more God into just the ordinary workday?
A little less of ourselves leaves room for more of God.
A little less of ourselves leaves room for a little more God. That's well said, Mike. Sometimes we just got to get ourselves out of the way and not believe the lie that's all about me. It's not. Thank you. Anyone go to school today? No, it's spring break. You went to school today. You're not spring break. How do you get a little more God than when you go to school? You know, part of, I think, well, yeah, you kind of took the words out of my mouth. One thing, we should be thankful that you have this opportunity. We live in a land where we can learn skills or trades or disciplines. We're really blessed. We really are. And we live in a society where virtually anybody can get education. There's opportunities. You go back a generation or two or three, who went to college? It was like the top 2 or 3%, and no one else could afford it or ever thought about it. Now there's just we live in a day, so it's something to be thankful for. I just say that as a little exercise to say this: in every instance of life, regular day, staying home, taking care of the house, taking care of the kids, babysitting the grandkids, going off and doing your business, your job, going to school, serving God in some sort of ministry, there's always the opportunity to include the Lord in it. When you come up with that obstacle at school, in your family, with someone that's in a nursing home, on the job, medical, whatever it is, God is the expert to help you escape from whatever's got you locked up. That's not real profound. You all would have known that if I'd given you a test on the subject. But I think here in the middle of a week, especially as we bring this little series to a close, it's a good reminder. Yeah, we need to stay out of the traps, a whole list of them. But God also can get you out of them. just need to allow Him to work and be there, be aware, trust and pray, and invite a little more of Him into our lives. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for a chance just to work our way through this this beautiful worship Thanksgiving psalm that your people sang all those years ago, and Lord, we can sing as an item of praise even tonight. So we pray that you'd accept our thanks for being the God who can set us free. We've been set free. We've been set free from the penalty and the power of sin. Someday, Lord, we'll be even set free from the presence of sin when we leave this sin-soaked world and step into your presence. We thank you, Father, for the difficulties, the obstacles, the challenges, the things you've set us free. And Lord, for anyone in our midst tonight, in our group tonight, Lord, that perhaps feels trapped at the moment, we pray, Father, that you just give them a renewed sense of strength and confidence in you. And Lord, might you undertake for them and set them free from what has them bound. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.